I just read a little story about a visitor who came to a place, and everywhere he looked, he saw evidence of perfect marksmanship. He had countless sightings of targets that were painted on trees and barns and fences, and every one of those targets had a bullet stuck in the exact center. He was marveling about it, and then he found out that this marksman was a child. And he said to this child, "How did you achieve such perfect marksmanship?" And the child said, "Easy, I shoot first and draw the circles later." We love claiming perfection, even if we have to create a system that allows us to do it and guarantee our success. But when we do such things, have we actually accomplished anything? Or are we painting the target after the shot? We humans, in our spiritual lives, we long to know of God, to know God, to prove that we know God. We want to prove our spiritual marksmanship. But as it turns out, religion is useless if it is only played out in such a controlled, ideal environment. It takes courage to allow our religion to change us, to transform us into a new way of life, to let go of control. It takes courage to stop painting targets after the fact and take a chance on aiming where God calls us. We're human beings, and we want to be able to speak with certainty and with sure knowledge of a God who is unimaginably immense, unimaginably holy, unimaginably powerful. It's hard to speak with certainty about this God. But if we limit our experience of God and our understanding of God to a controlled environment, we won't miss the target, but we will never hit it either. The idea of control is one idea that comes up in our gospel story today. We, like Peter, want to capture the living and all-powerful God in a booth, in a little dwelling place on a mountainside. Because then we could point to those little places and say, "See, that's exactly where God lives, and that's exactly what God looks like." We want to control the result. We want to paint the target after the shot. In this transfiguration story, Peter wants to freeze the living God in a tableau to be appreciated only by a chosen few. And lest we become critical of poor old Peter and his sort of bumbling ways, we have those kinds of instincts too. If we have some moving and charismatic experience of God, we can be seduced by that because we want to stay there on the mountaintop, or we want to repeat that mountaintop experience over and over and over. But we're not supposed to stay up on the mountain. We're supposed to see something on the mountain that changes us, even as the gospel says, terrifies us, because it pulls us out of our comfort zone and into a place of transformation, transfiguration, a place of dynamic faith, of carrying the presence of God in the world. We'd love to stay up there, just like Peter. But God calls us to move into the valleys of human experience where loss and fear and illness and injustice live. God calls us to go down the mountain with what we have seen of the transfiguring light and to find a way to make life better for our neighbors. If we're going to do that, to do the work of God, we can't keep our perfect record of marksmanship. We can't avoid that terrible mess that happens when we try to love other people. Because as long as we walk this physical place in mortal bodies with human souls and will, missing the target will have to be part of our Christian life. We cannot stay up there to protect our perfect experience of God. We have to risk failure to choose a target that actually exists already, and a target that we on some days have little chance of hitting. Those religious experiences, those highs, are only given to us to fuel our ability to serve God so that we can speak of God with passion, fervor, inspiration, and authenticity. God invites us up the mountain not to stay there, but to see the transfigured Christ, to be inspired, equipped, impassioned by that white light that appears when God enters human flesh and human experience. But to do the work of God, we have to let our perfect record be blemished with misses. We have to surrender to God so completely that we no longer worry about our agendas, our reputations, our resumes, or our marksmanship. We are called not to win, but to surrender. Living this life of faith when we go down the mountain requires vulnerability, the willingness to surrender status and certainty so that we can have authenticity. To find the center, the true target, we have to be willing to leave that moment of transfiguration, of ecstatic experience, and come back down the mountain. Because the religious life isn't for our own benefit. Perfect religion doesn't matter. It doesn't even exist if it doesn't change us and inspire us to carry God to others. Our religious life is designed to give us courage to surrender to the white light we saw on the mountaintop, the transfiguring light that comes when the Holy Spirit enters and enlivens human flesh. The question all churches are asked, especially in our time, is whether we have the courage, after seeing that terrifying, transforming purity of God on the mountain, to go into the valley and carry the light. Do we have the courage to admit that we will often miss the target so that we can go anywhere God sends us, even into the valley of the shadow of death? We have seen on the mountaintop that God does live in human flesh, that God transforms and transfigures human flesh. This isn't an abstract exercise. This is something designed to equip us. But the Holy Spirit doesn't come to us if we try to capture it, master it, control it, wear it like a badge, carefully painting perfect circles around our misses to improve our grades in marksmanship. We love each other here. We respect each other. We inspire each other. Together, can we let ourselves have the courage so that God can change us? Have the courage to say we often miss the target. Have the courage to stop painting perfect circles around every miss. Together, can we have the courage to surrender, to let go of the need to be expert marksmen, to be instead the imperfect, yet authentic and approachable bearers of the presence of God? We have the potential to do more here than to just go to church together. We have seen the blinding light of God at work in human flesh. We have seen it. Will we find the courage to go where God sends us instead of remaining safe and accomplished, taking our shots and then drawing targets around them? We know how to love God and God's people. Let's not just do religion here. Let's admit that we often miss the target. And with that authenticity and vulnerability, let's go down the mountain into the dark places and do the work of God. We can do the work of God. Perfect marksmanship is not required. Amen.